Brought to you by WOW Internet TV and Phone. James, thanks for taking a couple minutes, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm good. We were talking commencement speakers, and I got a couple responses back. I didn't think it was great that Kent State yesterday, Julian Edelman graduated, and Edelman didn't walk up to the podium himself, spike a football, and then tell everyone Bill Belichick and Tom Brady stories, that instead they just had the outgoing president, Beverly Warren, give the commencement speech, and I'm sure pockets and change herself as well. Who was your commencement speaker when you graduated from Cincinnati?
Oh, this is bad. I can't remember.
You can't remember. 95% of people can't remember, but there's so many cool people that actually do commencement speeches.
It wasn't like Julian, or, you know, someone that I would remember. So,
I mean, Maverick Carter is speaking at a school I've never heard of, and you know, we get people that we can't remember. It's too bad, is what I'm saying, James. It's too bad. You hate to see it happen. I was hoping you'd have somebody cool for us, but that's fine. We'll move on to some Indians conversation, though, because these past couple games have been absolutely brutal to watch, James. And I don't mean brutal as far as aesthetically. For 9 innings each, they've been fun. Or for in Friday, for 12 innings each, they've been fun. But the outcome, obviously, not in the right direction. But I feel like games like yesterday, where Trevor Bauer pitches his butt off, and then it shows you the offense can't give you enough. Those are the perfect games for the Indians fan that is rooting for the front office to do something at the deadline. Those are the perfect games to have them see that this offense just can't hack it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And the reason why is they came into the weekend, obviously, with a winning record, but a negative run differential. And it was, I believe it was minus 14 coming into the weekend. And the reason they've been able to do that and pull it off is because they've had a lot of close games where they're able to get that key hit, that key walk-off, where they win by a run. Well, past two nights, what happens? They lose close games. And you're right. They can't waste great outings by Trevor Bauer because you never know what's going to happen night in, night out with that rotation because there are question marks suddenly with the injuries. Yeah, and obviously the bullpen's played a boring game. Those are the things that the Indians games the Indians need to win because they're going to give up 10 runs in one of three in a series usually, and they haven't, and yet they still haven't had a win in Oakland. I'm with you.
James, what happened last night as far as the reliever situation is concerned? Because you get to the ninth and you have Martin tie it up in the top of the ninth and you think, okay, that's all right, great, let's go. And A.J. Cole is the one that gets his name called. Were you surprised by that?
A little, but there's a reason they promoted him, right? I mean, there's a reason that was, and that's part of it. I mean, you have your bullpen throw, what was it, 6 innings the night before, before the extras, you know, 6 innings minimum. And then, yeah, you bring A.J. Cole up, and that's something they've done. Like, when Luplo got promoted, he played the first day he was promoted. Some of these other guys that have gotten brought up, they played. So I think that's it, too, is Tito, he's not afraid to go to the guy that they just promote, and I think that might have been part of it. But, it was a tough way to go out, a tough loss for the Giants.
James, how tired of you are, answering questions about how bad this offense is?
I'm not tired of it because it's a legitimate concern. You know, it's like if it rains for 21 days straight and everyone just complains about the rain, well, yeah, that's legit. I don't want it to rain anymore either. Can the sun come out for once? You know, I get it. I do. And I think that the offense obviously has its issues. It's not going to be fixed overnight. It's not going to be fixed with one move at the deadline. But a mixture of things need to happen for the Indians to be, one, more fun to watch on a regular basis, which means more offense, and two, at that championship level that everyone wants them to be at.
James, you're around the team, you're in the locker room. What is one thing that you've noticed May 12th at this point that the general public or even the talking heads like myself, what is one thing that we get wrong that you just yell at your radio every time you hear it or you yell at Twitter every time you see it? Is there anything that stands out that way?
I mean, the one thing that I think most people don't get is why Oscar Mercado's still in AAA.
Mm-hmm, that's what came to my mind.
And the Dolans are trying to save money, and that's it. And it's just they shut down, and that's their argument, and they think that that's it, and that's always going to be it, and it's not. You know, I think there's a handful of reasons why he's still in AAA. But I think that's one that's at the top of the list for sure. In some of the offseason moves, I think they were better than people realize or going to be better than people realize. But, yeah, I think that's the top one is the Mercado situation and how people view it.
How long can Jason Kipnis bat in the two-hole?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And the problem is if they put someone else there, who's it going to be? I mean, Jose Ramirez, I guess. You know, you could move him to two. He had started the season there in the two-hole. But then who's hitting third? You don't have a real three-hole hitter. So it's really tough right now. And I think that's what Tito did is he moved when Leonis Martin went down just for a couple days with an injury last week, moved Kipnis to two and was hoping that would get him going. Unfortunately for Kip, it hasn't. And obviously the Indians offense has struggled. So, yeah, they're going to have to do something. Terry Francona, he's going to try. He's going to try to move guys around, I think, a little bit. But he's probably just hoping that Kipnis, obviously a veteran, can break out of that slump and have some success in the two spot.
You know, it worked for Tito last year, that move, because Kipnis historically was a two-hitter, and he moved him down to the sixth spot last year. And when he moved him to the sixth spot, then Kipnis actually started to swing the bat a lot better. So I wonder if maybe it was something like that. But as you know, James, the two-hitter gets more at-bats than it's a pivotal point between the mixture of the amount of at-bats you get mixed with the production that you can actually have as an output. That's why across the game, Mike Trout bats two. Chris Bryant bats two. The best players on each team bat two.
Yeah, and honestly, what you could do is you just put Jose at two. And I know he's not the best batter from an average or number standpoint right now, but I certainly think that when you look at the lineup, he's got to be in that realm or that discussion. And put him at two, and then put one of the young guys at three. You could put Jake Bowers at three. You know, I don't love it, but you could do it. And it would be one thing if Carlos Gonzalez had shown some more pop and gotten off to a better start this year, then maybe you could have put him at three, because that's what I thought was going to happen originally anyways. But I'm with you. I would move Kipnis down for sure. And I wouldn't move Martin back. I would keep him down too. And there would be times where, and I know he had the RBI yesterday, but there would be times where he wouldn't play.
I like those other
outfielders in the Indians roster and in the lineup.
I like that you brought up Bowers because he has been hitting the ball better. But have you taken away his Gold Glove award yet after that play yesterday against the wall? I mean, that was about as bad as you'll find out there for a big league player.
Yeah, so it's weird with Bowers. So he's got the athleticism and he'll flash it, right? Like with some diving catches and things like that, because that comes natural. What's much harder for him, and I've noticed this, is playing balls off the wall and just – the way, you know, his technique and stuff like that, and then he starts to look like a first baseman trying to be an outfielder. And there are times where he looks like an outfielder making great plays, and then there are times he looks like a first baseman trying to almost fake it and be an outfielder. And I think it's been tough on him. I mean, he gets traded in the off season, and no one's admitted this, but he's basically trying to learn a new position and cut his teeth in the outfield. He's only played first, I think it's four times this year, and that's his natural position. So it's been tough on him, and I think that's probably affected him at the plate as well a little bit, just confidence-wise. But you're right. There are going to be some highs and lows with Bowers in the outfield, but the Indians knew that, you know, when they were going to put him out there and decided to. Unfortunately, the margin for error is so thin. If he makes an error in the outfield, it's going to cost you.
Joined by our Indians beat reporter James Rapine here, brought to you by WOW Internet TV and Phone. Dan Zimborski, the senior writer at FanGraphs, I had him on last hour because earlier on in the week, he wrote a scathing piece about the Indians and said Cleveland is now the underdog. And if you know anything about Dan, he's a very high numbers, analytical guy, but he is the creator and founder of the Zips projections. So he is somebody that projects things out. And the way he sees it right now, Twins with, what, a 4.5-5-game lead in the Central, he sees the Twins and the Indians play an even ball the rest of the way through, which for the Indians isn't good news because they do trail the Twins in the Central by that many games. Does it feel that way to you? Are you almost justified at this point, May 12th, with some of the conversations we had a couple months ago where you said, watch out for those Twins, and I almost laughed you off the air?
Here's the thing. I think that the Twins are going to be around. I haven't overreacted to this or overreacted to an injury or overreacted to the start of the year. We knew the Indians lineup was flawed and they weren't going to score runs consistently. was just something we expected coming in. We didn't know about the injuries, but injuries do happen. I think they're going to be right there with the Twins, and it's going to be ugly to start May, and it has been, obviously, but I think things are going to get better for the Indians. I think things for the Twins will get a little bit worse. They're not going to be they're not going to have the best record in the majors. They're not going to win 100-plus games, but are they a legitimate threat? Abso-freaking-lutely. And that's where, if you're the Indians, you have to – the margin for error for you is smaller than ever, and now you have a legitimate competition in the division. So it'll be interesting to see how the front office, and obviously ownership, what they okay moves-wise this year. Because the Indians are going to have to make a move or two, probably, to win the division. And I still think they will. I think it'll be close. But I think they're going to win the division because they have for three straight years. And it's hard to knock off a championship team like that that's managed by Tito, and people give Tito grief as well, but I think he's a great manager. I'll take them during the long haul, or for the long haul. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be ugly at times. Right now for the Indians, it's ugly. And it's one of those things where I think they'll snap out of it a bit. The Twins will come back to earth a bit, mix in some moves and some health, and I think the Indians end up winning the division again.
James, what does it say about the Indians as an organization, even? And I don't see many people taking it this step further, but I believe it's something we should be talking about sooner rather than later. The fact that Michael Brantley leaves and has the best season he's had in years. Edwin Encarnacion leaves and has the best season he's had in years. Yandy Diaz leaves, and all of a sudden he's got launch angle and everything figured out. I'm not here to suggest that whether it's the hitting coach or whether there's something within the process of managers and what we have here that aren't bringing the best out of these guys, but I got three examples right there, and two of them where we really shouldn't have seen any reason for an uptick in production at their ages, where players have gotten better leaving here.
Yeah, it's when you make a bunch of moves in an off season, and they're cost-cutting moves. Now everyone's going to be paying attention to what those players do, right? And so, I get it. I understand that Yandy Diaz has obviously flashed. He's shown something. And that's the one out of all of them. I've gotten more Yandy Diaz is playing great. They didn't give him a real chance more than any of the other gripes, honestly. The Michael Brantley is the one for me that I think made the most sense. You know, they could have tendered him, sent him that, got him an offer for around $19 million, and they declined that, and that was pretty much sending him out the door, and he's played well. I think guys like Brantley, they're almost in prove-it mode, right? You know, he signed a $30 million contract in Houston, wants to show him that he's worth that, wants to show he can stay healthy. And then guys like Andy Diaz, you trade him, and they have a chip on their shoulder. They want to show that they belong. So I think there's a mixture there. I get it. It's easy to rag on the Indians. But I like both deals. I like the Yandy Diaz deal because the two guys you got back. You know, I like Jake Bowers. I think he's going to play well. And like I said, I think he's in a tough spot. And then you get Carlos Santana as well. I get it. It's tough watching Edwin, the top home run leaders in Major League Baseball. But I think that trade just worked out for everyone. So it's easy to look at what you lost and fret about it or be upset about it. But at the same time, I think in a lot of those deals, the Indians were fine. That deal specifically, the Yan Gomes deal, obviously you get Jeffrey Rodriguez. The one is the Brantley trade, and that stinks. Or not the trade, the letting him walk. You know, if you would have signed him, how much different does the outfield look? I think it looks a lot different. How much different does this lineup look? You need someone to hit in the three hole, he could do that, you know. So much different for the Indians if they could have kept Brantley.
He is James Rapine, brought to you by WOW Internet TV and Phone. Thanks for waking up with us. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and I'm sure the Indians baseball will put a smile on your face later on today, man.
I appreciate you having me, JP. Take care.
Thanks so much. James Rapine right there. You know, I hate to phrase it the way I did to him because I'm putting him in a difficult situation, mainly because I'm not saying, hey, why does Ty Van Berkelio have a job if the Indians offense doesn't get any better? Why does he have a job if Michael Brantley leaves, Edwin Encarnacion leaves, Yandy Diaz leave, and the team, they get better, but the team doesn't get any better? These are all questions that are percolating through my mind. I'm not going to let this one go yet.